Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome to another episode of the Powered by Transova podcast. We're very excited today to have a very special guest with us. Today we have with us David Burns. David, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and give us just a little bit of background about, you know, your farm and ranch and everything about you.
Okay. All right. My name is David Burns. I'd be the managing partner at Burns Farms. We run Herefords and Angus and a few commercial cows. Currently, we're probably running about 750 cows, predominantly Hereford. We have three live sales a year. We have female sales in May and September, and a bull sale coming up the first Saturday in November. And then we will have we have a big genetic sale online on Smart Auctions. That'll be usually the first or second week of December. So you'll see a lot of Transova generated genetics in that sale. We run on right now probably about 3,500 acres here in Tennessee. The bull business is probably what we focus on the most, although we do sell a lot of females and sell them very well. Kind of our thought process on that is that we are going to try and breed anything and everything that we breed toward that commercial bull buyer. And if it happens to make a great show heifer or be a really big numbered performance animal on the female end that's worth a lot of money, that's good too. But push comes to shove, if it comes out of bull, can I sell it to our commercial basic guy? So that's kind of some of our general breeding philosophy.
Very nice. Just a few things going on. Not a lot.
You know? Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. We stay very busy. Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. So how did you and your family get into Herefords? Has it always been Herefords?
Yes, it's always been Herefords here. Actually, the first Herefords came here in 1952. It's on my logo here, so that's why I could look down. My grandfather actually bought my uncle and my father their first Hereford show heifers, and we've been Hereford ever since. So I'm lucky to be kind of the third generation here, running what we've built and doing what we've done. So feel very fortunate. And we've always had Herefords. We added the Angus, probably it's getting longer than I think now, probably 6 or 7 years ago, mostly because our bull buyers are going to use an Angus bull somewhere. They're going to use a black bull somewhere in their rotation with their Hereford bull. So I might as well sell them to them as opposed to somebody else. That's kind of our thinking on that, for sure.
Very good. David, you mentioned, you know, having some Transova genetics progeny and, you know, upcoming sales and all of the events that you kind of listed. Kind of maybe explain to us what services you've used from Transova, kind of your involvement with us as a company, and kind of just give us some background on that.
Yes, we've been using, once again, it's probably scary how long we've been using Transova services. We started out, it's probably been probably over 20 years now, I guess, probably. We've been doing it a long time. We started off pretty early on using some IVF to get eggs out of some cows that we were having a little trouble getting eggs out of that we needed to get eggs out of. And it worked very successfully. But little background on me is I do have a master's degree in reproductive physiology from Michigan State too. So I was familiar with the processes and was comfortable with some of the stuff that was going on. So we were probably early adopters to some of the more modern technology and trying to help some of the cows that weren't flushing conventionally that we needed to get the genetics out there. And it was very, very successful. Probably the first cow we did was the old Edie cow, which is probably one of our base cows. Even you still see a lot of that today. And she was one of the first ones that we took to be IVF'd because we needed more genetics out of her. And it was very, very successful. So it's a way for us to take those cows that weren't fleshing as well conventionally. And since then, honestly, we've probably went, some of our bigger cows are getting more IVF treatments than we are doing conventional, because we do both. We do both conventional fleshing and IVF fleshing both, but probably more of our high dollar cows are getting IVF, honestly, because it's simpler. We can get a faster turnaround. We can do them after they're pregnant. We have a little more flexibility. Sex things a little easier. You know, I don't have to buy 5 straws of sex semen that might be good and might not be. We don't do a lot of sexing here just because we have a bull market. So I just as soon have both most of the time, but there are always matings where, you know, I'm shooting for one or the other. So we've mostly the IVF is probably our biggest exposure with Transova stuff for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you are from Michigan State and not Michigan, because I'm a Buckeye. So I'm glad we can still be friends.
Right.
You made some really great points about the power of IVF in all of what you just said. And my next question was going to be, how does IVF play into your bull sales? But it sounds like you just do conventional semen and you can sell both. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's exactly, you know, we've won the Pen of Five Bull Show the last 2 years at Oklahoma City, and several of those bulls were created by Transova. You know, they were IVF made bulls. So it's been very, very successful for us making bulls and heifers both, you know, and we have a market for both. So we're in really, really good shape on that. Our top selling bull this year would have been a calf that we made through IVF. I mean, he brought 72,000 for a third. So that pays a decent bit of my Transova bill sometimes.
Glad to hear it.
Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit? You've been a Transova client, you said, for 20 some years, which is a very long time.
Yeah.
And we appreciate clients like you, and you've got a great background in reproductive. You've gone through some of our questions already because you've answered them, which is a good problem to have on a podcast. Yeah. tell me a little bit about the satellite centers that you work with, kind of the evolution of where you've, you know, gone for Transova services and how you're using them now, where and everything.
The first few cows that we took, we sent out to Oklahoma that were at a satellite out there, you know, because there weren't any down in the Southeast, you know, so we didn't have that option. And that worked out fine. The only problem is my cows were an awful long, far away, you know. And as this thing has evolved and became bigger and more spread out, now we have really good collection centers really close that I trust these. We do. Todd Bickett does a lot of ours in Chickamauga, Georgia, and they're an hour from me, you know. Like so I can run them down that day, get them collected and bring them back. You know, we do quite a bit of that. I do have a couple cows that I leave there that we're doing multiple times, but, and we use Spears in Kentucky. He's kept one of our cows for forever. And honestly, that came about because it was handy, because the guy that picked her up in Texas was going through Kentucky and she got dropped off there, and she has stayed there, and Spears has done a great job with her too. So those are two guys that we're using as our two big places that we're getting lots of embryos from. And I think that's one of the things that I got, as long as those satellite centers, as long as I have confidence with the guys keeping the cows and taking care of them, I know that the Transova, that you guys are sending the vets and the techs and all that in. So they're really getting the same treatment wherever I have them, basically, as far as embryo collection and harvesting and some of that. So I know that the treatment's going to be the same wherever, and as long as the guys are taking good care of the cows, that's all I care about. Because both those guys have great facilities and they do a good job. And then you guys come in and do your part, and it's really worked out nicely. And we've been able to make a whole lot of embryos really fast. So that's been very successful.
Yeah, that's great. We've both of those locations do an absolute amazing job with donor cows and taking care of them because they know what they need to do to make embryos or get them set up for success. So great to hear that again. And shameless plug, it's pretty nice having that Georgia lab down there too now.
It's been very nice, you know, for us as far as the shipping and stuff. It's been very easy for us to go to Georgia. You know, obviously at one point we had, that was one of my only problems is I had Spears was sending them to Maryland and Bickett was sending them to Texas and I was having to juggle where my semen was. That was really the only thing that was ever hard. Now that everything's going to Georgia and I can make sure all my semen's in the right place and I can get that done. I mean, it's made everything much, much easier with that one, with the one place. Now I've only got one cow. I've got a cow out in Oklahoma that we're fleshing that goes to Texas, but most of the time my partner takes care of the semen on that. So I don't have to worry about it too much. The Georgia facility has been very nice for us. And the fact that both the guys that I'm using go to the same facility, it's been very nice.
It's eliminated some headaches that we'd had experienced in that region. And so we're thankful for that team and that lab. And, you know, and the less sometimes we have to do shipping across the United States, the better. Not that we're knocking FedEx and UPS, but sometimes that creates problems where there doesn't need to be problems.
That's been a problem for everybody everywhere, for sure. And so far, everything we've put in a bunch of embryos already from the Georgia facility, and they've done great. So we've been really pleased with what we've gotten too. So,
I mean, building on that, you have seen the evolution of Transova over the years and how we've grown, and we really want to streamline communication and make it easier to access our services. And the Southeast is still a newer territory for us that we're continuing to grow in. And some of our services aren't widely used down in the Southeast yet either. What, as somebody as experienced as you are, what are some tips or advice that you would give to a producer who's considering applying IVF or even conventional flushing to their herd?
Well, in general, what I tell everybody when they start flushing, and it seems like everybody that I deal with that I ever, they come out like a house of fire and they make a million embryos and they hit a super high percentage. I'm like, don't expect that every time. The averages are what the averages are. I mean, we have been averaging usually in the high 50s to 60s when we're putting in embryos, you know, so that means maybe one time we average 80 and one time we average 40, you know, so expect some ups and downs. Sometimes it's, I don't know, sometimes it's the weather, sometimes it's the mating seem to do better. So I think patience is something that I would tell some guys to be and realize that if you're consistent about what you do and that you're precise with your getting cows set up, most of the time you're going to do pretty well. You know, and so that's one thing that I make sure to tell my guys, from a Transova perspective, I would tell guys to make sure and do the my Transova thing is actually very handy for me because I can easily look up my inventory of both semen and embryos. And I can look up my, It's a pretty powerful deal where I can look up the history on my cows, see how they've done. I can check up on my partners and see if what they're doing with them sometimes. You know, it's actually been a pretty handy. It's something I think, guys, if you're using it, you should use that app or use the site because it actually is very handy. From a Transova perspective, because I'll be going through it here pretty quick, looking at all the embryos I have for sale coming up in December too. Of course, we're going to be putting in a bunch, so I probably do need to call and get some shipped in too. That's something else that I need to do.
Yeah, Lane, if you're listening, you're going to be getting a call.
You'll be getting a text with a big long list of embryos to ship in. Yes, yes. And the Lane's been great. She's really having the one person that you're tied to that you can kind of communicate with has been very, very helpful. You know, because I just tell her to do whatever I need done and it just gets taken care of. Yeah, so I do appreciate that because that's hard in any and all businesses to get to happen. And it's been great on our part for sure.
Well, we're always glad to hear that because anytime we can make communication easier, especially in this business of reproduction where there's so many moving pieces, you know, trying to streamline that, whether it's through a client service rep or through My Transova, like you mentioned, that's what we're always striving for. So it's good to hear that that's been your experience.
Yeah, it has been for sure.
David, you mentioned already kind of the evolution of how you've used IVF, you know, within your herd. First, it was just kind of problem donors, which was kind of what IVF was used for traditionally, you know, in the early stages. But now you're kind of using it more widespread. Do you have any like major success stories, major, you know, bloodlines, females, bulls that have, you know, kind of success stories from the IVF program within your own operation?
Oh, for sure. I mean, a bunch of them. Well, I mean, like the bull we sold in May for 72.5 for a third. He was one for sure. His sisters have sold for an average of, I think, about 35,000, and we sold three of them. So that one mating alone has been very, very profitable. Honestly, you know, a lot of our early stuff that's a base of the cow herd were IVF stuff. That we had the 8129 cow that is probably the biggest base of our herd, and I would own him with Iron Lake, and he did all IVF through you guys down there. And oh gosh, that cow's produced probably over $750,000 worth of progeny, if not more, probably nearing $1 million, you know, and her, all that was IVF stuff. You know, so Spears will vouch for it. 157F is a cow that we've been breeding, that we've been using a lot here lately, that she's spent the last 3 years at Spears's getting flushed at least once a month, usually twice, you know, and she has made a world of embryos. We're averaging, I think, right at 37,000 on her calves, you know. So it's enabled us to really ramp up improving our cows much faster. Because one thing we have done now, even on our registered cows, we will AI our cows we're going to put in the sale, and probably everything else is getting an embryo put into it, whether it's a registered cow or a commercial cow, either one, because I'm using putting an embryo in them as our AI on that set of cows, because the price spread right now for me in an ET born calf versus either an AI calf or a natural born calf is pretty vast. So I'm finding the value in the market right now are those high-end ET calves, and I want to make as many of those as I can, because that's what makes us profitable. If we can, you know, yes, we're investing a lot of money in our IVF program, but it's also paying off on the back end too, because they're the ones that we're selling for a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure. One of the hot topics that we get asked a lot about is recip management, those recipient cows. And is there anything that has worked well for your herd as far as embryo pregnancy rates and all of that?
Well, I mean, obviously we have to have them on a good mineral program, good nutrition program. They need to make sure our body condition scores are right. Or just go back to basic repro stuff. But then you do have to be precise in what you're doing, setting them up too. We do heat detect as opposed to doing a time deal. I guess I feel like that does a little bit better. Now we lose some cows because they don't fit the window or they don't cycle. But then we don't put embryos in cows that aren't going to take them too. So I do feel like that helps a little bit. And I think that's one of the things when we started putting embryos in registered cows, you know, as in any program, our registered cows get treated probably a little better than our commercial cows, you know. So when we started putting them in registered cows, they started doing pretty well, you know. So I kind of realized if I just treated them all that way, that's probably the way I should be doing it, you know, because the ET calves are, like I said, that's where we're making our money. That's where the profit margin's made on these things, for our program anyway.
Very good. Obviously, your program is successful and doing quite well. You've mentioned some good averages and good success stories, you know, to Emily and I during this podcast. What, if you had to name something, what would be a next big goal you're looking to accomplish, or what's in the future? What do you have in your mind?
Well, I mean, we're really rolling down the path that I want to be on right now. Our philosophy on them is that we're always going to be, I still like to look at them. I always have liked to look at them. So we're always going to be very phenotypically based. But what we've been able to do over the last few years, and what's probably made us in the last few years overly more successful, is we've been able to identify some cows that will have some phenotype, have some look, you know, we'll have all the things that we want, but they also do have the intangibles of big numbers and big genomics and do all the numbers in right as well. Now, like I said, we got to look at them first, and none of us, we like them to look good, but what we've been able to do that's really brought in more profit in is we've identified these cows that are producing ones steadily that are high end genomic females, along with really, really good looking too. You know, because we're not a straight show program. We're not just going to throw everything out and go straight numbers. We're somewhere in between, but that's where we want to keep going. We want to keep identifying these individuals that do it both genomically and phenotypically, which is what everybody's wanting to do, and everybody would if they could, you know. So it's always going to be a challenge. And if we can keep going down the road we're on right now, we're really, really pleased with the cattle we're making right now. We think these are the best cattle we've made in the whatever 75 years we've been in business, and we're going to keep doing that day in and day out. Luckily, I've got a great crew behind me that do everything right behind me too. So we're in a really fortunate position right now.
That's great. Well, we appreciate you coming on the podcast today, David, and sharing your story and all the ins and outs of your program. Is there anything that we didn't ask today that you wanted to mention, or anything we wish we would have asked you?
I think we covered most everything. Obviously, just want to invite everybody to the bull sale the first Saturday in November, and look for our good Transova genetics in December and on smart auctions. There'll be lots of embryos that you guys made there. So we would invite everybody to come see us in November. Come buy some bulls.
Yeah, great. Well, we'll be sure to link your website to our podcast notes. So if anybody is listening and wants to check it out and check out the sales that are coming up, they can do that. But thank you again for being on, and thank you for your support of Transova throughout the years.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening to another episode of the Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.